We listen to the word of God found in Galatians and the Gospel of John. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. And in the Gospel of John, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. John 16:12-15, the word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. I decided to do this partway through the first service, so Lynn Brown, can you come up here for a second? And you want to grab Kathy McHale and make her come with you? No, she can't. She can't do this by herself. And Tracy Kingston. Yeah, who you? And I promised her earlier, Nancy Herman. I asked Nancy not to be mad at me by the time the day's over, so.
We don't graduate together, I think.
Nancy, you're a lot younger than I realized. If you're in their class, or they're older than I thought, so.
Just told them I'm turning Presbyterian.
Turning Presbyterian, okay. I should have said you could have stayed down there for what we're about to do. No, you know, I'm sure you'll eventually go down, because what we're going to do is we're going to play a game of Simon Says. And you guys are the judges to help me with this, okay? So, all right, are you ready? Simon Says, put your hands in the air. Simon Says, put your hands on your hips. Simon Says, put your hands on your shoulders. Simon Says, put your hands on your head. Simon Says, put your hands on your hips. Simon Says, put your hands on your head. Simon Says, put your hands on your shoulders. Simon Says, put your hands on your hips. Simon Says, put your hands on your head. Simon Says, put your hands on your hips. Simon Says, put your hands on your head. Simon Says, put your hands on your hips. Simon Says, put your hands on your head. Put your hands on your hips. So that would mean you're out. Yeah, do you want to go back?
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Do you want another chance?
Huh?
Do you want another chance?
She does.
Okay, get back in. Now, the thing is, Simon didn't say get back in, so you're still out. She'll help, but she's only good down to the bottom of the step. Then she still has to come back up. Now you're back up. Simon Says for you to get back up.
Nice try.
All right. Simon Says, hands in the air. Simon Says, hands on your hips. Simon Says, hands on your shoulders. Simon Says, hands in the air. Simon Says, hands on your head. Simon Says, hands on your hips. Simon Says, hands in the air. Simon Says, hands on your head. Well, I don't know. What do you think there? I mean, they said you were good.
Okay.
Hands on your hips. All right. I knew Lynn would win. Now, the reason why I was doing that was, you know, that I talked with you last week about keeping in step with the Spirit. You know, the passage we read, if you live in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. And part of keeping in step with the Spirit is hearing the cadence, hearing the rhythm with which the Spirit works and lives. And part of that is listening and paying attention and hearing the Spirit, just like what Simon says. And too often, you know, sometimes we get into a pattern and we stop listening and we just assume. And so we need to be cautious that we stay centered and stay centered upon the Spirit and stay centered and keep ourselves there. You know, in a band competition, if the, you know, you have a marching band that's competing, or even just a, you know, they're just performing in at a football game, the band will always center itself off of the 50-yard line, right in the center part of the stadium, and that's where the judges will be located, usually up where they can see and watch everything. The band always finds its center point, and it starts from there. And it doesn't matter whether the band moves to the left or moves to the right, whichever way the band is moving, it always somehow comes back to that center point, the 50-yard line. So as we keep strive to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we want to be aware where the Spirit always centers itself. You know, the Spirit will always move you, if you're walking in step with the Spirit, closer to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. The Spirit will, keeping in step with the Spirit will always move you closer to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. And the Spirit's cadence seeks to glorify the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. So we need to make sure that the things in our life, the things that we're doing, is always centered on bringing glory to the Father through Jesus the Son and allowing the Spirit to work in us to do that. So as we live by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, that should be our goal, to glorify the Father through the Son. And at times the Spirit, you know, as the band would move around the field, sometimes the Spirit will move you closer to the Father by and moving in formation together with others in this world. Sometimes it's to bring the message of salvation and good news. You're moving to a place following the Spirit to glorify the Father so that others might hear the message of salvation. Sometimes it's moving with the Spirit of God so that you might bring encouragement to another person. Sometimes it's moving by the Spirit to help bring a word of correction or reconciliation to other people. But it's always to glorify the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Love requires that we seek first to glorify the Father through the Son. Now, marching band, sometimes they do get out of formation. You know, someone misses a step or they miss a turn or they get the wrong cadence. And when they do that, it can turn into a jumbled mess of chaos. You know, sometimes that may be one just small section of the band of three or four people, or it could turn into a whole section of the band if somebody is following the wrong person. Other times it could be the entire band just gets kind of lost and jumbled into a mess. And the same thing's true for us when we get out of formation, when we lose step with the Holy Spirit, when we lose the rhythm of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can create chaos without even knowing it, because we've got out of step with the Spirit. We didn't do what Simon says. Now, and the way that manifests itself in the church when we're out of step with the Spirit, it's through the works of the flesh that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's a list of things of what happens, or what is evident of people that are out of step with the Spirit. None of it's centered on God. It's usually centered on self. And those things mention and represent being out of step with the Spirit, and they create chaos, and they create brokenness in your life or in the lives of others. And sometimes that brokenness is by intention, and sometimes it's unintentional, but it's by consequence. But it still brings brokenness and hurt either way. Now, the thing I find interesting is too many times those of us as Christians and as churches, we like to focus on the big items in that list. And that's what you'll often hear things are preached about, or things are argued and fought over. you know, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. We hear those big things, and those things, you know, people write their blogs about them. They focus on those as, you know, major Facebook posting and everything on those issues. But we often tend to overlook the other things mentioned there too, the other aspects. That list, by the way, is not exhaustive. But we tend to overlook things like enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. And Paul goes on and says, and things like these. The list is not exhaustive. But we tend to only focus on those big things instead of looking at the little things that are ourselves, like my own instrument's out of tune, my own cadence, my own step is out of step, and we want to look at the big things that take the whole picture and make it bigger, and we stop looking at the little things in our own life. Where do I have enmity? Where's there strife? Where does jealousy exist in my life? Fits of anger, divisions, dissension. Where do I allow those things to rule and to reign? You know, marching band, they have to play the same song in harmony and in rhythm, or it turns into a sour-sounding mess. And to live in the Spirit, we have to avoid those things that take us out of harmony and out of rhythm with the Spirit. None of those things add life or love to ourselves or to others. None of those things move us in the direction of the Heavenly Father, glorifying the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. They're the wrong notes, the wrong cadence. They're out of step. You know, I recall a church council meeting years ago where there were a few members of the church had gathered at one council meeting, and there was a neighboring church, a different denomination, about a mile down the road that had nothing much more than a sanctuary. And they had needed some space for a wedding reception or whatever. And so they decided that what they wanted to do was to bless that small neighboring church by opening up their basement social hall to that church for just a nominal fee. I think at the time it was $15 to go to the janitor and $15 for the building fund. Just wanted to be able to let that church know that if they wanted to have some kind of a reception or a gathering of church, they'd have a place that they could do it only a mile from their church. Well, the next meeting, there were a lot more people showed up at the council meeting, mostly all connected to one family. And it became a heated council meeting with hostility, expressing enmity, strife, fits of anger, divisions, dissensions. One person declared in that meeting, he said, you know, our church burned 20 years ago. They didn't do anything to help us, so why should we ever do anything to help them? Again, anger, rivalry, division, strife, just to name a few, ruled that day. And the vote was taken. It was a divided vote, but they voted that we won't do anything for that other church. The result of that, there was no more, seemed like there was no more life left in the ministry of that congregation for a long time. It's a sad testimony. A number of families left the church because they were looking for a place where there was the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. And I know of similar stories in other churches where anger and division and dissensions seem to be the primary focus of a few individuals or a few groups. And that has only led to chaotic, spiritual, out-of-step formations and bands, not working and functioning within the Spirit. Paul writes, if we live by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, if that's where our life is, by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. you know, it'd be good for us to answer one question in our life as we face all kinds of circumstances and situations. What does love require of me now? What does love require of me now? Just a couple chapters before that one that we read that the Holy Spirit would be coming to and speak to us about the Father, Jesus told them, his disciples, this in John chapter 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What does love require of you? It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. What's required of you? Love, agape love, is saying, I am seeking the highest good, God's best interest in another person's life. What does that require of me now? How do I respond to whatever situation? It keeps me in step with the Holy Spirit when I let agape love, seeking God's best interest in another's life. How do we keep in step with the Holy Spirit? Well, whatever brings love, whatever brings joy, whatever brings peace, whatever brings patience, whatever brings kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control, against such there is no law. All these things are part of the rhythm and melody of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's many ways that what does love require of me now? Maybe in the midst of storms, it means that you go volunteer and you help and you clean up. Or maybe you give and you support those on missions trips and mission organizations. Or you serve on a mission trip. Or you serve in some capacity within the church in some office or someplace. Or maybe you work within some other local groups that could be of support, that the Trail Life or some of the food groups. Friday night, there was a group of us that were working the booster booth at Riverside High School. It was senior night, so that the parents didn't have to be in the booth. They could go out and watch their kids play. Now, it's the third year we've done that, but I found it interesting because they told us, they said, you know, we've been struggling to have some people work this year, and we thought about Concord. And so we thought maybe some other churches would help us too. So they reached out to some other churches throughout the year. What does love require of you now? When you feel mistreated, when you're angry, when you feel like you've been set apart, when you feel someone has done something against you, what does love require of you? You don't respond with the works of the flesh. You respond in step with the Holy Spirit by love. By this will all people know that you're his disciples. Whatever situation or circumstance or issue you might be dealing with. Do you glorify the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ the Son by loving as he loved? To keep in step with the Holy Spirit, one simple question: what does love require of you? And then do it. The more that love is manifested by us, the Holy Spirit then is eager and anxious to move within us to honor the Father and the Son, and this world then will become a changed place. It doesn't take much to look at the news to know that all those works of the flesh seem to be the main focus right now. We need to be something different. We need to be in step with the Spirit. We need to answer the question, what does love require? Let us pray together. Father, may your Spirit fall upon us. Lord, may you guide us. May we hear and be focused on your commands. Lord, may we move according to your ways as we seek your Spirit in Jesus' name.